wanted to talk, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, a little bit about practically manifesting tshuva, which is part of the Simcha seminar, because if we're really growing and becoming better people, then we're happy, right? Like Rabbini likes to say, Simcha is related to Smicha, as Rav Hirsch points out, which means growth. And we all know that when we're growing, when we feel like we're moving, then we feel happy, right? This is statistically proven. Someone who, for example, was making $40,000 and then the next year is making $45,000 will statistically generally be happier than somebody who's making $70,000 one year and the next year is making $65,000 or stagnant at $70,000. I mean, it's not about the money. It's about, am I growing? Am I moving up in life? So it's very important spiritually and happily, happifyingly, to always be growing, which is exactly what Aser Shemichu is about how to practically become better people, right? This is the time to do it. So I've been listening to a lot of TED Talks and reading a few books. This is just a few little tidbits and insights from there, mainly. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll share a little bit. So let's talk don'ts and do's. Basically, the thing it comes down to is there are bad habits that we want to cut out of our lives, right? So those I would call don'ts. And then there are do's. There are good things that we want to start manifesting in our lives. So, for example, a don't is, I don't know, give me a Jewish don't, something that I want to keep. I don't want to say Lashon Hara anymore. Good. Excellent. What's a do? Give me a do that I want to do. Daven longer. Right? Or wake up on time for davening. Okay, that's a good one. That's anyone here ever struggle with that? Right? I want to wake up on time for davening. Maybe even want to come to davening a little earlier to make a chavrusa. I know it'll be better for me intellectually. But somehow I find myself oversleeping and every day I'm not coming to davening in the way I can. So let's talk practically. How do we actually change that habit and make it into a habit so that it becomes normal and easy for our brain to go straight into doing it the right way? Okay, let's first talk about the do. So it's really not rocket science. What it comes down to is taking some time when you're in a cold mood, meaning to say you're not in the moment. You're not in that moment of, oh, I'm so tired and I didn't get enough sleep last night. That's what's called a hot moment, when you're in the emotional place and it's hard to make a rational decision. What we've got to do is when we're in a cold, like, you know, away from the scenario situation, sit down with a pen and paper or with our computer and map out what small habits I can change, what little things I can do to change my environment to make sure that the likelihood of me mastering this, of me changing and growing in the positive direction, actually manifests itself. Okay? Make sense? You got to take, step one is take time when you're not in the moment itself. Step two is really imagine the scenario itself and what's holding you back from being the best you can be. And what can I do to create that environment? Right? Y'all with me? So let's take sleeping. I sleep past 10 minutes past my alarm clock and I'm tired and I miss chakras. So what could we do practically to change that? Let's go through it. Good. So first of all is it's happening because I'm tired. So I need to go to bed earlier. Now, to say I want to go to bed early is a very hard thing. What I would recommend instead is after I shower, let's say every night I shower, theoretically, then I will go to bed. Instead of checking my phone and chilling with my buddies, after I, because that's something that my brain doesn't have to struggle with, then I will immediately go to bed. Okay, good. Going to bed is something that can create the environment so that I will wake up on time. What else? What other small habits can I change? Okay, so that in other words, I would say I'm going to make a commitment beforehand when I'm calm and say, I'm not going to press the smooth button, the snooze button. Or maybe what I'll do is I'll take the phone and I'll put it far from my bed at night so that it's harder to just hit snooze. They actually have these new phones, it's really cute, where the alarm moves every morning. It's like on a little car, and every morning it like drives to a different place. So you always have to go and run it after it. So they've been very smart technology. Okay, good. What else could we do theoretically to change our environment or to make it more likely that we're actually going to wake up? on time. Try to stay. What? Go to sleep early. So we're both going back earlier and committing not to snooze. What else? Can we do that? I can practically make sure that we, that our brain learns not to snooze.
We set an alarm earlier.
Good. Okay, as we said a little earlier, sometimes that backfires, but sometimes that does work where you say, okay, I'm going to snooze once, but then the second time I'm going to get up. That does help a lot of people. Excellent. Pick out what?
Organize what you need.
Oh, good. Very good. Pick out your outfit. Right? That's something that I've started to do recently to not wake up my wife. I realize sometimes shuffling around for clothing in my house in the morning can wake her up. So at night, I'll try to prepare the clothing beforehand. So also here, if you know it's all organized, you have a better chance of getting psychologically getting up. What else?
Maybe have a different goal. Wake up in the morning
and excellent. Exactly. Right? And I would say the best, mom's the best advice in terms of this is make a chavruta for davening or right after davening, because then you know you're letting somebody else down by sleeping in.
You
got to
trick the
Yetzer Hara. Right? You got to trick the Yetzer Hara, and accountability is the key. Mom's the key to self-growth, because if you know that someone's going to hold you accountable and your chavruta is going to be waiting there for you, then it's much less likely that you're going to choose to sleep in. Yeah? So that's a very, very, very important tip, and that's the genius of chavruta. And especially when it comes to learning goals, that's why I very, very much recommend making as many chavrutas as you can so there will be accountability. Statistically, accountability is it. That's the thing that gets you from like 20%, 30% chances of succeeding to like 90%. It's all about accountability, preferably with someone who will be really angry at you if you sleep in, not a really nice guy like me. Yeah.
You should
exactly. Make a verbal commitment. Make someone, a friend to wake you up so that he'll be disappointed in you if you don't wake up on time. Excellent. Very good. Yeah.
Accountability. When I was on the right side of the punch, every time getting dominated than I do on canvas, which is like sort of counterintuitive. But the reason is because on canvas, like, I know I'm, like, number 10, so if I don't go, there won't be a minute. Whereas, like, the right side, a lot easier to be like, oh, like, nobody really cares, like, how am I not.
Exactly. So you put yourself in an environment where you know you'd be held accountable, and that's genius. Excellent. Awesome. Okay, one more little trick. Neurologically, your brain, as much as we pretend like, well, we're just doing it l'shem shamayim and all we care about is God's work, and that's probably also true, but you want to reward your brain so that your brain subconsciously associates getting up early or the new goal that you want to accomplish with something awesome, right? So, I mean, I personally, I don't drink or whatever. I don't eat really before davening because that's ideally halachically, but theoretically, if a person, let's say, does maybe make yourself a nice cup of coffee, because there are rabbis who say you're allowed to make a coffee for davening, to wake you up for davening, make yourself a nice cup of coffee, and then your brain will associate waking up early for davening with coffee, or something I've always been doing. I play frisbee, or I don't really need that much motivation, but after I play frisbee, I get a smoothie. This way I'm motivated to run and to get exercise in the way that I want to do. I trick myself. I trick my brain into associating doing the habit that's hard for me and making it rewarded. Okay, so these are all just examples of do's. So I don't want to go too overboard, but just quickly, don't. So let's say I have a bad habit, okay? I say there's something which I know intellectually I don't want to keep doing, but I keep doing it, right? Because it's hard to take Lashon Hara, for example. I keep blabbermouthing and speaking stupidly, and whenever I go to the lunchroom and I'm sitting down with my buddies, I end up saying not nice things about my buddies. So how would we change a don't? What could we do? Take the Lashon Hara example. Oh, so how do you do that? Good. Excellent. So, for example, you specifically plan out, when I go to lunch, I'm going to sit with those guys and talk Torah, and I have a mission. I'm using my time productively, so I won't be tempted to go into the don'ts. Okay, what else?
giving compliments to people.
Okay, good. Giving compliments to me, another great example.
Maybe this is a little weird, but maybe something where you incentivize yourself with rewards for goods. Maybe like just like a downfall
of a punishment. Absolutely. Well, I'll give you an example of what a punishment would be for me. Me and my wife, had one of the only commitments that actually lasted this year, after all my millions of ideas and plans, one of the only things that I mamash actually did is I made a Chafetz Chaim Chavruta with my wife, and we finished the Sefer Chafetz Chaim together. Thank God. And I know that if I speak Lashon Hara about my buddy, I'm just going to feel really bad about myself the next morning when I'm having my Chafetz Chaim Lashon Hara with my wife. And I don't want to feel bad about myself. So I'm kind of insensitizing myself by punishing myself. It's psychological. You could go in different ways. You could say, oh, if I speak Lashon Hara, then I have to fast. You could do all sorts of stuff like that. Interestingly enough, punishment... Okay, right. So it's a little dangerous because then you might associate one with the other. Okay. You might say, the punishment. I never like the idea of saying, oh, if I do bad, you have to learn. And then you associate learning with bad things. But yes, No, you're right. That does work, but you have to be a little careful with that. The main idea, both of do's and don'ts, and this is the takeaway, is to think when we're not in the situation itself, to pinpoint the key habits that we want to change this year. Because a lot of times it's just that one little habit that I changed that domino effects to everything else. Okay. Take some time over the next couple of days, even if it cuts away a little bit from your Gemara Seder, I would say. Take 20 minutes, take a half hour, take an hour to write down what are the habits in my life. Step one, write are the habits I want to change. What are the little habits that I want to start doing in my life? And then step two is, okay, I wrote now a list of 100 things. Now what do I actually want to focus on? Okay? Because it's probably not realistic to change everything. But there are a few key things that, like, I really, really, really want to change. And I'll feel so good about myself. And I can imagine myself next year being that person. I'll feel amazing. So for example, I have too many ideas. I have way too many ideas. But there's one thing in my life that I really know I need to focus on. That's being orderly. That's not losing my wallets, my keys, and my phone. So specifically this year, I'm not focusing on, you know, another Gemara Seder, another Daf Yomi, whatever. All that I also, B'ezrat Hashem, want to grow in. But the main and only real thing that I'm like writing and rewriting is put your wallet over there, put your phone over there, put your key over there. And I'm focusing on that and developing these small little habits to make sure that I'm a more organized and misudar type of personality. And I'm saying that in public in front of you guys so that if you guys see me losing my wallet, you can say, Keith, didn't you say? And then I'll feel really bad. So you guys make me feel really bad. Although there is a danger, in telling everyone about your goals. So sometimes psychologically, just sharing your goals makes you feel like, oh, I'm done. And you don't actually have to do the goals. So be a little careful with that. You don't have to tell the whole world about all your goals. But if you know that there are going to be people who are going to hold you accountable for it and make sure that you do it, then there are benefits of sharing your goals. But the main thing is pinpoint your exact goals. Think of the environment and the small habits that I can create so that I can actually change these habits. Yeah.
Another pitfall of your goals that I've experienced, like at one point you said, like, yeah, it's a good accountability, and like, okay, but I might, then like, after a while, wait, but I'm not really with myself anymore, or, like, because I told everyone that I was doing it.
You're doing it for yourself, you're doing it for others, you're saying.
Yeah, like, oh, I have a second to do it, that's what I'm doing.
That is true, but a lot of times that's like a crutch that helps you get to the next step. So sometimes, like, making a net there, oh, I'm going to daven 40 days in a row with Minyan and telling the whole yeshiva, you're right, you're doing it for other people by day 35, but at least the habit has become ingrained in your brain, and the ideal is that by day 41, it will just be natural for you. You won't have to fight that day. Yeah?
Do you know those tiles that you can put on, like,
tiles? Oh, yeah. The thing is, I lose those too because they fall off my phone. But it's a good idea. I like it. I agree. No, the main thing is, I think I've started writing out, when do I usually lose my wallet? Oh, right. It's usually Fridays. Fridays are really busy for me because I don't have enough sleep. I go play Frisbee. I shop. And then I'm just, too much is going on. And then I'm, again, flustered. So I have to think, okay, when I go to the shuk today, don't listen to a shiur. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, instead, just be focused on being So that's just a personal example. But I bless you guys to take some time and introspect and really make this the best year of our lives. And it's all the Shem Reading Shabbos. And I hope I'll see you guys soon. See you guys. Amen. See you guys before Yom Kippur. And speaking of good habits, Al Mechia right after we eat would be a great habit to ingrain within this year. So I'm going to want to create an environment by getting really good things. So, and we'll go ahead.